Today's episode will be spanning the decades as we go all the way back to the very beginning and then jump all the way forward to the very end. We are talking about Hoho Tokusatsu, and we're talking about Kamen Rider, the original, and Avataro Sentai Dawn Brothers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where we are here to wrap up our Super Sentai Tokusatsu Japanese superhero Christmas specials. And boy, do we have some good ones in here today. But I need the weird fake mustache to my weird fake beard. Miles, how are you, my friend?
Oh, Merry Christmas, Drew. We had to have one little more treat in the stocking for our listeners this year. So we are releasing our... We're recording this in like the middle of the day, yeah. before Christmas, so that we can get this episode out on Christmas, which is insane. But we're rounding out our month and our year. And I think we do so in a pretty great fashion. I've enjoyed all of these specials. And I, you know what? I think we finished strong.
This is a very, very strong showing. With going back to the very first Kamen Rider series and episode 39, The Monster Wolfman's Big Murder Party. And then jumping...
a title that will never fail to make me laugh when you tell me, this is the Christmas episode.
Yeah, and then jumping forward to 2022's... Avataro Sentai Dawn Brothers, which is not the most recent Super Sentai series. It's not even the most recent Super Sentai series we watched, because we did also watch a little bit of King Oger, which we could, I don't think we found that there was a Christmas episode.
I don't know if there was, which I was super bummed about because I loved King Oger.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the idea of like, I wanted to see how wacky this was going to get based off of what we saw of Dawn Brothers. And I was not disappointed.
Nope. I made a prediction, and my prediction was confirmed. So, but let's go back to the 1970s and let's talk about Kamen Rider, the Wolfman's Big Murder Party. This episode aired December 25th, 1971. This is so old. It's old. Hang on. Yeah, it's old enough to be our parents, this episode.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it could happen.
It'd be close.
it'd be weird, but yeah, it could happen. I gotta say, it did feel like super nice going back into watching one of these 70s tokusatsu shows. I wasn't even alive at this time, but it feels like a lot of the reruns I was watching as a kid. So it does feel very comfort foody to me, yeah, watching definitely some of this old stuff.
And we talked about the original Kamen Rider style back in the day with that awesome theme song and Rider jump,
so good.
Rider kick. But you know, when we were doing this initially, we only watched a couple of episodes in the very early moments, and in the early moments of the Kamen Rider series, he didn't have a transformation sequence yet. He would like just say change, and then he would just be, you know, there.
Yeah.
And I was surprised and happy to see our boy Ichimonji getting a transformation sequence. It's not a great transformation sequence, but it oozes early 70s.
Yeah, no, it works. I think this is, it's utilized in Shin Kamen Rider 2, isn't it?
I would have to go back and look.
Because I feel like, you know, Anno did something like that for that one. But yeah, I mean, and this actively takes place on Christmas. It is a if not a centerpiece of the episode, it's a strong background. It feels very much like Christmas episodes of TV shows from the time period.
Right.
Where, like, it would be on Christmas. There might be a Christmas B-plot, but it's mostly just another episode of the show with some Christmas dressing, which, you know what? That counts for me, especially for this time period. I think that that is solid enough because it's not like they were doing anything different than anyone else.
Yeah. Another thing I should say about this, because I mentioned that our Kamen Rider Ichimonji, he was not the Kamen Rider in the show when we watched it.
He is
the second Kamen Rider after the original Kamen Rider actor who played Takeshi Hongo got injured in a motorcycle accident on set and had to be quickly...
He broke his arm, didn't he?
I forget what, but I thought it was something in his leg, but...
Maybe it was his leg. Actually, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But yeah, so we have our first real look for us at Ichimonji outside of course, he appeared in Shin Kamen Rider that we covered on the show.
Right.
Not that long ago, as well as his buddy, Taki.
Taki
is an FBI agent. Somehow the FBI
who was just kind of palling around, not really doing his job, it seems.
Yeah,
at least in this episode that was the kind of impression I got.
Yeah, so we have a whole lot of new stuff to cover in this episode, and this episode is, like Miles said, very much feels like a Christmas episode of yore. You know, it would like suddenly we're going to have a conversation about Christmas and maybe Santa will show up. And that's and though we may have given other Kamen Rider series a little discredit of this being all there was to it, for some reason, it's more forgivable in this.
It's forgivable because one, it is a center part of the story. And, you know, especially I guess they. Are they hanging out in an orphanage? I don't understand.
It was all the subtitles called it a nursery school, but the kids live there or seem to live there. So it also seemed like a place that maybe they had been to multiple times before. But
they seem to be very familiar with all the kids.
Yeah, including one kid in particular.
Yes, my man Goro. that kid rules. But I think what's different is, you know, for like Gaim last week, it was briefly mentioned once, and then there's a little dance at the end where they say Merry Christmas. Christmas right. is still a central theme here. And there's even a conversation like, oh, you know what? I would rather Kamen Rider visit us than Santa. And you know, there is a whole, like, it's not the centerpiece, but it is the Christmas party that they're going to have. It does keep coming up. And I think because you see the decorations in the background and everything so much in this episode, it feels like it's part of the episode. And I think that's why, for me, it gets a pass. You also see Kamen Rider at a Christmas party, which is freaking great.
Always a fun time. But let's talk about the actual episode itself. We are introduced at the beginning of the episode to two very drunk men coming home, getting off the train.
Which I have to say, some of the worst drunken performances I have seen in quite some time. They are not convincing at all, and I love it.
Just like, oh, I gotta pee, and then just runs over off screen. and
the other guy's like, I gotta go too. Bye.
And then as he comes, and so the one guy goes off screen to pee, the other guy sits down, oh, it's cold, oh, I've got to go too, gets up to go join his buddy, and finds his buddy slumped over on the ground. No idea why. He's like, hey, I mean, obviously he's probably thinks he's drunk and passed out.
Right.
But, you know, shakes him. Oh, what's going on? Quit goofing around. And then the guy finally pops up, looks over, and turns into a blue wolf man. It's awesome.
As you hear, which happens constantly. Yeah, I forgot. That's one thing about this show is like the noises anything makes is so ridiculous.
Well, I had forgotten about the shocker bad guys. And I apologize to listeners. Zoom definitely killed Miles's.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's okay. But I forgot that the Shocker bad guys, although they're little goons.
Oh, it's so frankly obnoxious after like twice.
Yeah.
And I forgot about like the flat out, like, they just bought luchador masks. That's all they are.
They're luchador masks, and all those Shocker like generals and whatnot are just Nazi uniforms. That's all they are.
Yeah. 100%. But the most like ridiculous Nazis you've ever seen.
I will say though, some of the actual wolf logo on top of the Nazi logo was pretty cool.
It reminded me of a Nintendo game. I think it was called Operation Wolf. That was like it was an army based game, and I think it was like a rail shooter or something. But I think it had a kind of a similar logo.
Well, you know, it was Operation Wolf in this episode. Is it possible?
I know that's why I was like, oh, that's. I hope to God it was.
We will look that up after the show is over and figure that out. But yeah, at this point, it becomes a very standard Kamen Rider episode as. The two drunk men are also carrying Christmas presents, you know, just to keep it on theme. But after this, it turns out that there's a werewolf virus that is going to turn people into werewolf cyborgs because, yes, they're cyborgs, even though they don't seem to have any technological components. It's all medical stuff, except for the Kamen Riders that have armor and stuff like that. It's all very confusing. But yeah, and then it becomes Ichimonji and Taki kind of going through and fighting this General Zol and his wolf men and all of that, as well as rescuing a little girl because of her doll. And at one point, the wolf man goes to the nursery school in the middle of the night to steal a child.
Yes. which leads to like one of my favorite parts of the entire episode.
Yeah, so the little girl that witnesses, I guess it's important to mention, the little girl that lives with them at the nursery school happened to have witnessed everything that went down the night of the Wolfman situation. So she's the one that tells the Kamen Rider that there's a Wolfman at all, and Taki's like, can you believe this kid talking about Wolfmen? And then Ichimonji's like, because she's a child, it makes me more likely to believe her. It's like,
yeah, and Taki's like, I don't know if I'm gonna hang out with you anymore.
It's like, I don't know, man.
which was like kind of a great response.
I guess it's like this idea that children always tell the truth or are more likely to tell the truth about stuff, but I don't know.
Right.
I've heard kids make up monsters before, so you know.
Yeah. I've heard kids make up a lot of things before. So
yeah. So the wolf man, because the little girl leaves her doll at the scene, and so now the Shocker General knows that there's somebody that's seen it, and so they send the wolf man to go capture the girl. And the girl has a fever, so she's in a different room than everybody else so that she doesn't spread any sickness to anybody, I guess. But then the wolf man comes in and attacks the teacher and is like, where is this little girl? It's like, she's right there. I'm just pointing at a random kid's bed, which seemed so wrong. It's so mean. Like, oh my God. But as it turns out, we learn in just a few minutes that kid is the Kamen Rider's buddy Goro, who is a little punk and does a little eyelid tongue sticking out thing to the wolf man and then shakes out of his arms and runs away as the Kamen Rider and the wolf man fight.
It's so great. Like, this one kid just decides, oh, I'm gonna prank this werewolf.
Gotcha, sucker.
Yeah, and literally the wolf man just like, huh? And just lets the kid run off. Like, he just bounces out of his clutches and is like, see a sucker. The whole thing was like so Bugs Bunny that I was delighted by it.
so silly. And this is all, there's a lot that happens in this episode, but I guess
I forget how much they pack into these episodes.
Yeah, because this is also before they learn about the party for Operation Wolf. They learn that Operation Wolf is a thing, and so they attack this Shocker General who's coming down in a helicopter, and they kill him. They kill both of those guys in the helicopter, but by exploding the helicopter. Because, yeah, you got to remember, 1971, Kamen Rider does not care. If you shock him, you are dead. There is
exactly
there is nothing coming out. But they end up.
Yeah, I forget how like indiscriminate this show does dispose of people, good guys and bad guys.
Bad guys especially. But so they rescue this suitcase that has an invitation to this shocker party for Operation Wolf.
That invitation is dope. And I wish they made duplicates of that. I need to find that.
Yeah. This is not the Christmas party. In fact, this is very much an anti-Christmas party because they do say that this will be the last Christmas that the humans ever celebrate.
Yeah, and there is that aspect too of like they're going to ruin Christmas, and then everyone has to dress up like clan members to get in.
Clan members with red hoods—that is the costume. But
that's the Grand Wizards,
something like that. And of course, that is when we learned that oh no, Shocker was trying to trick the Kamen Rider. Because he orders everybody to take their mask off, and it's like, oh, Nazi guy, oh, Nazi guy, oh, Nazi guy, oh, Nazi guy. And who's this one guy not taking off his hood? Ha ha, we got you, Ichimonji, we got you, Kamen Rider, there you are. And they finally pulls off the hood, and it's like, no, actually, we got you. It's Taki under there, because that makes more sense. Because because Taki's the distraction, because they think Ichimonji's going to be under the hood.
Right, exactly.
But Taki went under the hood while Ichimonji went and planted all these bombs on their base that we have never looked into or seen.
I love that it's like, yeah, this happened, and we're like, oh, okay, this happened.
Yeah, no. call an ambulance, but not for me. It's that meme.
It is 100%.
But and then there's a big fight. We also learned that General Zol can also turn into a bigger, cooler Wolfman suit.
Yeah, like he's apparently like the original Wolfman, not some virus knockoff. He's the OG, which honestly his costume is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's especially cool in comparison to the battle damaged costume that was being used by the Kamen Rider at this point, because it doesn't look good. It's muddy and dirty, and like,
yeah,
the silver bits on the shoulders look all pilled up and fraying. It's like, man, they've been using this costume. This was,
hey man, Kamara's been through a lot.
It was episode 39 of the show, so I'm sure it was the situation where they were trying to get something
to keep what they had.
Yeah. But yeah, so they beat the bad guys in one of it, and they use the hilarious, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Die Hard stole this from this Kamen Rider episode, throwing a very fake body down a cliff. and it just like hits and bends in weird ways and then explodes. Die Hard, I guess, didn't do that, at least not in the first one. But and so there's like a, like, it's just Taki and does a little yeah, and then the commenters like yeah, and then they go to the Christmas party, and the Christmas party is going on, and they're passing out gifts, and Santa is there, so they do still get to meet Santa and the Kamen Rider, and they're like, where's Ichimonji? Where's he? And all of a sudden, you hear the motorcycle rev up, and oh, in comes the Kamen Rider in the worst helmet you've ever seen in the show. It's clearly the one that they use. It's clearly the stunt helmet that has bigger eye holes so you can actually see out of it to drive a motorcycle. They just didn't bother to change it between scenes.
Yeah, and he gives out presents to the kids, and you know, so I mean, yeah, there's Christmas here. I mean,
did you clock some of the presents the Kamen Rider was giving out? Because all the Santa gifts are wrapped, but the Kamen Rider gifts are not.
I think I saw some of them, but I didn't really clock them. Well,
I clocked two. One, a doll, which he gave to the little girl who had lost her right at the beginning of the episode. And another one is a Kamen Rider action figure.
Love that. Love that. I mean, and that's probably what the kid wanted, too.
Probably so. But,
no, yeah. I mean, I like I said, you know, in terms of what we watched for Kamen Rider, this is pretty strong. Obviously, the concentrated 15 minutes of X8 is some of my favorites because it's, you know, it gives you everything. But in terms of like a singular episode, this is probably one of the strongest we've seen from the Rider franchise.
And it gives you just enough. But again, so much of the lack of it being the full plot is forgivable because it was 1971. You know,
it's 1971 in Japan. And not only that, but like this is how a lot of American shows dealt with Christmas, too. There's, you know, not all of them, several sitcoms and stuff obviously still had like Christmas special episodes, but sometimes, yeah, it's just there, you know?
If it had been a Christmas themed shocker monster instead of a Wolfman, maybe that would have not ratcheted it up.
I agree with that.
Like, I'm the reindeer cyborg.
Yeah. I mean, let's get that silly, please. I mean, but that's on the writer aspect. Like, I'm not expecting, especially if they came and afford to like use another suit, I'm not expecting any sort of like, you know, Christmas transformation. He handed out gifts. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. It was just good to see Kamen Rider again in its 1970s glory.
Yeah.
Well, Miles, are you ready to get nuts?
Yeah, I think I am.
Then let's get nuts. Moving on over to Avataro Sentai Dawn Brothers, episode 41, Santa Struggling. This aired December 18th, 2022, so it is just past its 2-year anniversary of this episode airing. Miles, what do you remember about Dawn Brothers?
Very little. I do remember it was all over the place, and I feel like at the time, because we were watching a couple shows at one time, I had a little trouble kind of tracking, but...
I don't think that is your fault. I think this series is just all over the place in ways that I really appreciate, even though I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, and I feel... I remember being kind of like, you know, I certainly didn't dislike what I watched. I will say, you know, I was going in expecting, okay, I'm going to get a wacky Christmas special, which I did. I was not expecting this show to really sell Dawn Brothers to me. And it really, really did.
I loved Dawn Brothers. I loved Dawn Brothers.
I did. I liked it too. I want to be clear.
I liked it of the ones we had watched that week. I believe I had liked it the most out of the three. Which
that sounds about right.
Which surprised you very much because you thought I was going to be way more into King Oja.
Well, we both did love King Oja.
But I loved Dawn Brothers. I think we reviewed those in different episodes. But whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This episode just goes full in on the weirdness of Dawn Brothers. Just to give you kind of a reminder, it is, this is a take on a Japanese folktale or a Southeast Asian folktale about Don Momotaro, I believe, is the actual one. And you've got characters like Don Momotaro, the Red Ranger, who seems also a bit to be like the classic Monkey King kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Oni Sister, who is the Yellow Ranger, and she's kind of like a dog demon. No, she's not a dog demon. She's just a demon. Are she a cat? I don't know. Because that's right, because it's Inu Brother, who looks like a cat but is a dog, and he is like a 2-foot-tall CG.
He's the one that turns into the Cocker Ranger, right?
Yes, in this episode. Then you have Kiji Brother, who is...
Which I forgot that was something they could do.
Yeah, that's apparently what they can all do now. Saru Brother, who is the Blue Ranger, who is an ape, including a red butt on his costume. And Kiji Brother, who is the first male Pink Ranger in the franchise, and is a crane. So he's also mostly a CGI.
Yeah, is that because of the tall legs and stuff? I do remember a lot of that.
Yeah. But this episode also reintroduces us to this trio of bad guys that we were just getting introduced to in the first episodes. And
it's weird because it they're bad guys, but they... They're bad guys in, I think they're more, they're antagonists.
They're anti-heroes maybe, but they also seem to be related to the the whatever is going on in the Dawn Brothers world, which we didn't even scratch the surface of.
No. Because we also see that they're maybe not friendly, but you know, they're not actively trying to kill them. Like they're battling, especially the Red Ranger and the leader of the Cerebelliums or whatever they're called.
Cerebrins, I believe.
Cerebrins. You know, and they battle from sunup to sundown like 2 days in a row. And then like as the sun sets, like, all right, we're calling it for today. I thought that was kind of funny. But then at the end of the second battle, the main antagonist is like, hey, instead of fighting tomorrow, meet me at the coffee shop. And so our Red Ranger's like, all right. And you get introduced to this concept that they're embarrassed to talk about. And you're in this coffee shop. And they kind of awkwardly storm off. The trio does.
And a reminder that the coffee shop is run by the main character of Zenkaiger, just played completely differently.
it's so wild. And because also he looks a little bit like the cook from Lupin Ranger.
A little bit. I can see that.
Yeah, like a little bit. The blue Lupin Ranger. But so they run after these they're not alien. I don't know what they are because we haven't been watching the show. But basically we find out that once a year, three of their kind has to basically serve as Santa, as part of some relationship that they have with the humans.
Yeah, so these are seem to be some sort of like, I'm grasping here, but because every final battle in the show that we watched took place in like this weird cyberspace experience.
They felt like VR troopers.
Like VR troopers. They seem to be spawned from that, like that they are a reaction to, like it's they're cybernetic beings or technological beings from this universe that has spawned from like the collective technology use of humans or something like that. So
there is something about the human emotional spectrum that they're related to. I do remember that much at least.
And I have read they were primary antagonists in the show until they were reformed / transformed, and now they are seem to be not buddies, but kind of buddies. But the blue one and Momotaro fight to see who's the better fighter. It seems to be the case.
That tracks. All right.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Well, yeah, I knew they were certainly like antagonists at some point because they're murdering people, and the Dawn Brothers are like, yeah, no, we're gonna fight you.
Yeah. So as we learn for these Cerebrins or whatever they're called, they are required once a year. A group of them has to be Santa Claus. That is their
love
job.
I love it.
Because it is how they show their thanks to humanity for their existence is to be Santa Claus. And it's like, okay, so they have to learn how to be Santa Claus. And this is
what Santa Claus really is.
Because and they overhear this little girl talking about, you know, how she met Santa Claus or she saw Santa Claus, and they're like, oh, you gotta tell us all about him because we gotta be Santa Claus. And hilarity ensues as they learn the three things that they need to be Santa Claus: endurance, I forget what the second one was, but then the smile. And with these weird bad guys, and the one guy in particular, he's maybe one of the creepiest dudes I've ever seen.
And it's not his fault. It really isn't. Like he's just got that kind of mouth, really, is what it is.
Yeah, he's and they've got his hair. Like I'm looking at pictures of him with, you know, a different hairstyle, and
he looks like Daphne, whatever, the girl that played X-23. He kind of looks like her.
Maybe. But none of them can smile. One of them's like, "You smile too seductively," and then that guy smiles.
That whole conversation is hilarious.
Very funny.
We also have a B plot involving Santa Claus.
Well, so this is where we have learned through this conversation, as the the Cerebrans. I know this is probably wrong and it's not Cerebrans, but you know, whatever. They're asking, you know, our human crew about Santa, and Momotaro's like, yeah, I met him. I know Santa Claus. I met him. He's cool. But we'd only get part of the story where you just see Santa Claus
so
taking stuff,
taking
all the toys from Momotaro's room and putting them in a bag and leaving. And it's like, you sure that just wasn't a thief dressed as Santa Claus?
Yeah, because I think the Yellow Ranger's like, yeah, pretty sure you got robbed, bud.
Yeah, and that's where we get sort of the main plot of the episode, where I guess it seems like a B plot, but it is, I think, the main plot. I don't know.
Yeah, there are two A plots, because these are running pretty perpendicularly to one, or pretty parallel to one another.
As it turns out, Santa Claus has become a demon, and instead of giving people toys, he doesn't give children toys. He gives adults stuff that don't
trash
and are grossed out by. So like he gives a lady coming home from work and crashing out a box of empty cans that still have food stuck in them, or a dude or another lady, just grubby old smelly sneakers, or a dude getting out of the shower, a box of old used toothbrushes, and they're just disgusting stuff. And that's because Santa Claus has become, I forget what kind of demon they were talking about. It's
it's all based on the fact that he felt like he couldn't connect with kids anymore. And
the Santa backstory is so funny.
It's pretty great. And he basically becomes, I know there's probably an actual demon that it's based on, but he basically becomes a Krampus. And I love everything about this story. It's so wacky. It's so weird.
Yeah, so Santa Claus has delivered a present to, this is all flashbacks. Santa Claus has delivered a present. Santa San, we should probably call him Santa San, because that's what they all call him. He's delivered presents to a little boy and a little girl, and they open them up, and they are just like old toys. Like, they're new, still plastic wrapping and whatnot, but they're like, you know, little cup and ball toy and another thing. And the kids are just like, I don't want this. And the toys immediately go in the trash.
Right.
Which is like, oh, poor Santa.
But we also find out that Santa's kind of an idiot, because, you know, he overhears the little boy saying, I want a video game for Christmas. And he goes out to get the game and is about to deliver it wrapped in everything, and overhears that the little boy wants a big brother.
Yeah. I want an older brother, Mom. I want an older brother, which, you know.
Which, I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, okay, the gift you got is still going to be very well loved. You don't have to, like, base it off of everything this kid says he wants. And... but does he do that? No. Drew, what does this Santa think the best option is?
Ding dong, ding dong. Little boy opens the door. It's Santa Claus in shorts and a Hawaiian shirt with a bug catching net and a bucket hat. Hey, I'm your big brother. Let's go.
And they shoot it so appropriately. Like, the camera angle is so wonky that it makes him look like more of a nightmare.
Like,
and so when the kid screams,
like, the eye level of a child, like, that's how it's kind of,
yeah, it is very kind of like, this shot would not have been out of place in Pete and Pete, and which I know is a random reference to bring into the Sentai, but it was very, very weird, and I loved it. And that kid being terrified of Santa was hilarious, and this is the catalyst of him going, I guess, dark mode.
Well, it's because he gets arrested.
Oh, that's right. He does get arrested. He gets arrested
for being a creepy weirdo. And I don't know which one, because it was off camera, but one of the Sentai heroes, one of the Dawn brothers, says, yeah, that was probably appropriate.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right.
That is, yeah, 100%.
So this is where we have Santa turn into his monster form, which is really cool looking. It's like a cool black and gold monster with all these arms around the head. And
yeah, it's dope.
We get kind of a, we get a big fight with all of our Dawn Brothers heroes and their Cerebrin cohorts. And we are introduced to both two of the extra Rangers, the Sixth Ranger and the Seventh Ranger, although we don't know anything about them. And they win the fight, and then the purple sword person goes, who is, I think, maybe not human, maybe a computer program or something like that. Artificial Ranger. Yeah. They go into, which, who has been apparently on their side, but goes a little crazy. And they go into the cyber world and they fight him instead to call him.
Yeah, down. I was a little confused by that at first. I mean, like, this show is still out there.
It's so
very,
it's
very so out there.
And once the fight starts, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, gang. I lose the plot a little bit because so much happens so fast. There is so much CG flashing back and forth. It's all very epic and very cool. And I have no idea what's going on. But I'm also kind of into it. And then they do, you know, their special final attack, and now it's back to helping Santa out again. And Santa's like, I don't want to deal with any of this. I'm leaving. And he walks away. And then the Cerebrans get on their, you know, Santa training, and they're doing exercises, going endurance training and all of that. And it's a lot of fun. And we have Santa talking, you know, he's, you know, getting ready to go and give more crappy presents out. And Momotaro basically goes and talks to him. He's like, hey, you know, we met. And we get the full background of this story that for some reason Santa Claus.
It's such a Christmas special, like, reveal.
Yeah. For some reason, Santa didn't have any presents to give out. He was out of presents.
He ran out. He ran out of gifts.
And so, Taro gives him all of his toys to give out as gifts and says that, and ever since then, I saved money to make sure that I could buy presents in case you ever needed them again. And just hands him a big bag of presents. And it's like, and being overwhelmed with the Christmas spirit, homeless man Santa Claus transforms into the Santa that we know and love, and Christmas is saved, as we also have him delivering presents as well as our Cerebrin buddies who are using their little portal doors to go into people's houses and deliver gifts and doing
a good job from what we've seen.
And that's really it. That's the episode.
There is something that is so sincere in the execution of this episode that really made me fall in love with it.
I'm sorry, one last thing. As Santa Claus flies over the cafe where the Yellow Ranger has been working, she looks up, waves, and then looks directly at the camera and says, huh, I guess we ended it on a pretty classic staple. Just breaking the fourth wall in a very, very fun way.
Yeah, because, you know, before she had even said that, you know, this was all reminding her of different Christmas specials. And everything she was doing was by the rules of the Christmas specials that she had watched, including a little girl who was the only one that believed in Santa. And, you know, show Santa the true meaning of Christmas and all that stuff. This is a really, really great special. Did I get, you know, a Christmas transformation? No. But this, I mean, really, like the Cocker Ranger episode, like, kind of understood the assignment for the most part in full. And I mean, like almost all the Sentai we've watched so far.
Yeah.
Super Sentai has definitely hit it out of the park with the Christmas specials that we've watched, and Dawn Brothers was no different. This was excellent, and it made me, like, even with the context of what I had seen before and what was given in the show, that we watched for this week, I was like, man, I really want to go back and watch the prior 43 episodes. Like, yeah. I really want to go through. I mean, I felt that way about almost every Sentai that we watched, but like, I was just like, yeah, I really want to watch more of this show. I don't necessarily know what's going on at any given moment, but I like it. I know that much.
Same. I was a little disappointed we didn't get the palanquin, but you know, it's been 40 episodes. They probably don't do that anymore all the time.
Yeah, I thought if any show was going to do something kind of wacky for Christmas in terms of like a Christmas transformation, it would have been this show.
Well, and you know, it's interesting to say we don't have a Christmas transformation. We do, but it's not the way we'd expect it because we have Santa transforming into the monster of the episode.
That is fair. That is very fair.
But it doesn't feel that Santa-y of a monster.
That was the weird thing. I understand it's supposed to be something else, but I do wish that either it looked like a Krampus or it looked something a little more Santa-y. But that said, I can't be too disappointed in what they did. I think they did an incredible job. It's a really solid Christmas episode. It's a really good episode of Dom Brothers. This actually sells the show really well, to the degree that I was like, man, I'm really into what's going on here. I don't understand a single bit of it, but I like it.
Yeah. Actually, the Hitotsuki, which is what the monsters are called, it's like an evil Buddha statue with all the arms and things like that. It's even got like the necklace and all of that. Which I guess makes some sense if Santa's supposed to be like a jolly fat man. I don't know. I feel like we could have been a little more on brand for Santa Claus, but you know, that's.
I agree. Either a Krampus or an abominable snowman or something to that effect, I think would have been fun. Or even like the Robo Santa from like Futurama. You know, anything like that would have been fine. But that said, they delivered a killer episode. It was a great one to end this this special time of year for us, and subsequently the end of the year for us.
That's right. This is the last episode of the year. We are going to I don't think we're taking any time off. Depending on when we can do our next episode, which it's an annual tradition. Next week on the show, it's the Mori Awards, the 2024 Mori Awards. I can't wait. I'm super excited.
It might be next week.
It might be.
It might not.
It might not. We got to figure that out. So
yeah, we have some traveling amongst both of us.
The weird part of this is not only do we have traveling, but like the normal nights that we record are like actual holidays this year.
Right.
So it's a little wonky, but we'll get back to it.
If it comes out next week, it'll be late. And if you don't see it, it'll be next week.
I'll try
to post something on Blue Sky and let everyone know.
Yeah. So the next time you hear us, it will be the Mori Awards, which will be, of course, a fun recap of all the cool stuff that we encountered outside of what we talked about on the show in the year 2024. So with that said, gang, let's talk about where you can find us next. Talking is difficult.
Got a little bit of that eggnog.
Not nearly enough.
Right.
So, gang, if you would like to reach out to us, you can find us in a number of places. You can go to themoreyounerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode. You can follow us at The More You Nerd on Blue Sky. And of course, go to facebook.com/TheMoreYouNerd. And you can email us, themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. But you can also listen to me and Miles on a whole different podcast called Cosmic Crit. And Cosmic Crit is an awesome podcast. We play the game Starfinder, which is a tabletop role-playing game by the company Paizo. It's like D&D in space. It's very cool. I've been doing it for years. And if you go to CosmicCrit.com, of course, check out that show. And look in the upper right-hand corner of that website and look for the link to the Cosmic Crit Discord. Because that is where you can come and talk to me and Miles all day what we are born. So with that said, gang, we're going to end the show as we always do with a rousing
nerd
out.
New nerd for y'all.